People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And the weather for this week, we've got partly sunny today, high of 42. Tonight, low of 18. Tomorrow for Thanksgiving, Turkey Day, we've got sunny and a high of 26. So good weather to go for a post-meal walk if you want to get out and stretch. Thursday night, low of 12. Friday, sunny again, high of 31. Still cold. Friday night, partly cloudy. Saturday, we're looking at a high of 50, a little bit warmer, but a chance of wintry mix and then rain likely. Saturday night, 41, and 50% chance of rain on Sunday, high of 55.
On Thursday, November 8th, from 2 till 7 p.m., the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce will be holding its 30th Annual Business Expo and Food Showcase, presented by PNC Bank. It will be held at Next Level Arena in Flemington, featuring over 100 exhibitors, demos, a chance to enter the cash machine, door prizes, and food tastings from local restaurants. From 4 till 6, meet Bill Spadia from New Jersey 101.5. Admission is free. For details, call the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit hunterdonchamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. We're here with Happy to Help. The Facebook Live thing isn't working right now, but we'll get that back up eventually. But you can check out my my Facebook page on Happy to Help or at Happy Hunterdon. And today, the day before Thanksgiving, we're being thankful. And we have our first guest today is Ashley Saha. Welcome.
Thanks, Nicole. I am thankful that you have me here today.
And you're here to tell us about a special event. So you want to tell us about what your role is and what you're here to tell us about coming up in December.
Sure. So my name is Ashley Saha, and I am a social worker at Flemington Adult Daycare. And of course, we're located here in Flemington. And we are preparing for a pretty exciting event. What we'd like to do is bring together resources for seniors that are available in Hunterdon County, because there are so many resources that Hunterdon County offers to its seniors and people with disabilities. But what we find is a lot of people don't know how to access them, or they're not even aware that they exist. So we are having what we're calling our Senior Wellness Fair. It's free, it's open to the public, and it's happening next Saturday. So not this week, but next Saturday, December 1st, at our facility at 3 Walter E. Forum Boulevard, right here in Flemington. We're located in the Town Center Shopping Plaza, the same one that the PNC Bank is in. The event starts at 10 o'clock, and we're going to have all kinds of presenters and vendors that support seniors in our community. So people will get a lot of information about resources that are available to them, and those resources can range from elder law attorneys to senior advisors to AARP will be there, and we're going to have raffles, prizes, and refreshments. So I'm hoping to get as many people as possible to at least stop by and get some information about what's available to them and their families in Hunterdon County.
That sounds wonderful. Is this the first annual senior wellness fair? Has it been going on before?
No, it is the first annual senior wellness fair, and I'm hoping it will be the first of many. Really hoping to get people out. And even if people aren't themselves considering, you know, what options are available for seniors in the area, but if you're taking care of a loved one who is facing the challenges of aging, and those challenges can be, you know, physical limitations, people aren't able to do the things for themselves that they used to be able to do, or cognitive limitations, you know, like a degenerative brain disease, such as, you know, caring for somebody with dementia or Alzheimer's. These are all things that we're going to be providing resources for, because it can be really scary and confusing, and it can be really isolating. Sometimes caregivers don't know that there is help out there, and they have to shoulder that burden alone, which can be tremendously stressful. So what we'd like to do is have anybody, you know, who is maybe caring for an elderly friend or relative, loved one, to stop out and, you know, leave with a ton of information. Or, you know, seniors in our community who may be facing some of those challenges and trying to decide what's right for their next step. Can they stay independent in their home? Do they need to move toward a long-term facility? How will they pay for these things? All these questions are things we'll be able to provide answers to and resources for. So I'd encourage anybody who's interested in those topics to stop by, have some snacks, and meet the staff at the Flemington Adult Daycare Center.
Snacks are always good. That's
snacks are my selling point. I also have some raffle baskets, you know, that our current clients are circling. So they'll definitely be coming and trying to win that raffle. And we're hoping to bring in some new faces too.
Yeah, and it's free, right? It's all free, open to the public.
All free, open to the public, you know, even for, you know, professionals in the field or, you know, volunteers who work with seniors or who are interested in that information, church groups, anything like that, who feel like they want to have some things in their toolbox to be useful to people who may need those resources, stop in. Get the pamphlets, you know, have a snack, say hello to us, and then, you know, head out. It's from 10 to 2. You certainly don't need to stay that whole time. People can just drop by.
Yeah, so a networking opportunity as well.
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely, it is. Because I think we have a lot of resources in the community for seniors, and it really is helpful if those different resources can connect with each other so that we can refer to each other and support each other to get people the things they need, you know.
It's all about connections.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how long has the Adult Daycare Center been around?
Oh, we've been there for about 2.5 years. Oh. And actually, we were filled to capacity. So the facility created a sister facility in Piscataway. Oh. And so our able to choose which facility they'd want to attend. And so we have more availability now than we did because we split our clients between our two facilities. And just a little bit about what we do, the name is sort of regrettable. I think adult daycare makes people cringe.
Well, people know what it is, though.
Right, exactly. We're clear. But what we are able to provide is transportation to and from our facility. And at our facility, we have nurses available who provide medical and health monitoring services to people with both dementia, Alzheimer's, or physical limitations like problems getting around, people who are struggling to take care of their like activities of daily living. We can help them complete those. And we provide meals for breakfast and lunch. We have a dietitian that helps plan people's meals according to their, you know, medical needs or dietary restrictions. We have a social worker, which is me. We provide linkages to supports that could help seniors pay for, you know, long-term care, housing, prescriptions, phone bills, utility bills, you name it. There's a lot of resources available to people, and my job is to help to link them and their families to those resources. And then at the end of the day, we transport our clients back to their homes so they get to maintain independence even with some failing health. Additionally, we transport people to and from outside medical appointments. So for people who may have like ongoing appointments for, you know, like dialysis or you know, physical therapy, that can be hard for family members to take off of work to transport them multiple times a week. And that's something our facility is able to do.
That's amazing. So can you give out your phone number and your website or information so if people want to follow up and check that out, can they can find you?
My ADHD is so bad, I was totally going to leave without giving my phone number. That's okay. Really a shame.
No,
sorry.
That's
everybody.
What I'm here for.
Thank you. Thank you, Nicole, for understanding my disability.
No, stop.
So again, we are Flemington Adult Daycare Center, and we're located right in the town center next to the PNC Bank at 3 Walter E. Foran Boulevard in Flemington. Our phone number is 732-800-0027. And you can find us on Facebook. Our webpage is currently under construction, so don't bother searching for us there. But we are on Facebook. And if people have questions, I actually always say, just stop by, you know, just stop by and meet us and we can answer any questions and see the facility.
Well, it sure was a pleasure to meet you, Ashley, and I thank you for taking the time to come share this event with us, and we need to book you for a full hour in the future to talk about your...
Oh, that's Nicole. Thank you. Anytime. Have a great Thanksgiving, and thanks for having me.
You too. Thank you. Thanks to Ashley, and we're going to have a quick break, and then we're going to bring in our next guest, Sebastian Maldonado.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good morning. We're back. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And today, with the Thanksgiving break and things, all things being thankful, I am very pleased to welcome Sebastian Maldonado. Welcome.
Hello.
And Sebastian is a junior at Hunterdon Central, correct?
Yeah.
Right? And he is an avid volunteer, and I'm always talking about it's so great to volunteer, to make it a habit in your life. I grew up volunteering. I tried to get my kids volunteering, and then I bumped into Sebastian's mom, and she was telling me, she was bragging about her son, which is totally acceptable. And so I said, well, he sounds amazing, and I want to have him on the show to share all the wonderful work that he's doing, volunteering his time at an early age. So can you tell us about, do you remember your first kind of interest in volunteering and how you got involved?
Well, my first interest was actually very early sophomore year in high school, and I have it right here. It was the holiday artisan market at Hunterdon Central.
Okay.
And so, what we did, a summary of what we did was we sold brownies, Christmas cups, and cookies with peers in my class, my English class, because it was originally for an English project, but I branched off with some of my friends to sell more cookies and brownies, and we made about like $80 to $100 for the victims of Hurricane Maria.
Nice.
So that was pretty fun.
So it started out as a class project, and you kind of took it to the next level.
Yeah, because it was just a lot of fun, and I was just thinking, like, you know, I'm just spending time with my friends and helping other people. So it just seems like a waste to not do this again.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that's why I try and tell people it builds community. You can do it with your friends. You can have fun. It doesn't have to be a chore. You're doing something good, but it's also okay to have fun while doing it, right?
Yeah.
Right? So that was your springboard. And then what was your next project, your next involvement?
My next involvement was the Rotary Bark in the Park dog walk here in Flemington. And it was a lot of fun because I was able to volunteer with my sister and friend Dylan.
Okay.
And what we did was we handed out flyers, dog biscuits, and set up an event where dog owners and dogs can meet exhibitors from local businesses with healthy ideas for your pet plus new and unique pet-oriented products and services.
So, nice. And that was with Rotary?
Yeah, that was with them. And the whole day, what we basically did was just we set up events, and I have a dog allergy, so I like the fur.
So
I was sneezing up a storm. But
what a sacrifice. Wow.
Yeah. No, but I have a dog that's hypoallergenic, so I love meeting new dogs. And, what we did was like 20 to 25 different companies came out, and just like Petco and Pet Plus came out, and I got to know these companies so well that they started giving us free dog biscuits for a dog. So, so for my volunteering work, what I got in compensation was dog treats.
Hey, so, nothing wrong with that. I'm sure your dog was happy. What's your dog's name?
My buddy.
Buddy?
Yeah, he's a golden doodle.
Oh, that's cute. Oh, that's nice. All right. Well, good. Well, and again, you can, I always tell people too, when you're doing volunteer work, you can build a connection or have a connection that gets you into it. So even though you're allergic to dogs, you love dogs and you have a dog. So working with your friends, turning your love of pets into a fun fundraiser is amazing. And partnering with other organizations. Rotary's been ran around for over a century. So it's the old and the new working together. So that's good. Well, so what happened after that? You just got the bug, right? And you couldn't stop.
Yeah, basically. So then my next project or next volunteer event, which like I found out of the blue, was the Walk MS.
Okay.
And I forget where it was, but it was a walk at an airbase near Flemington in Hunterdon. And so what we did was we donated and assisted in leading a group of people on a one-mile walk for the support of victims who have multiple sclerosis. And I usually volunteer with a lot of my friends, but this time I was able to volunteer with my friend Jeremy. Mm-hmm. And so it was a lot of fun because it lasted about the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great day for it, which was just wonderful. And so the first hour was absolute chaos because up to 100 to 150, 100 to 150 people came. And so the parking lot was just a mess. So I had to wear like the neon, had the lights out, and help navigate through the parking lot. And then I set up the event with the people because I was there from the start of the event to the end of the event. And what happened was we were in this big complex, and people were walking around, and some people with multiple sclerosis came. And it was wonderful because I never met someone who had the disease.
Oh.
And they're great people. And I was able to walk with them, and my friend Jeremy and I led the one-mile walk around the airbase, and I forget how much we were able to accomplish money-wise, mm-hmm. but it was a success, and I hope to be able to do Walk MS again over my junior year.
That's great. Well, and like you said, the money raised is good and it's important to do that, but also the connections you form are priceless, right? Yeah. And you get to learn more about how someone else experiences challenges in their life and help raise money for a cure and work with your friends again. So you're like the poster child for for volunteering.
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's a great goal to have. And so that are you involved in clubs at school as well, or is this more external stuff you do?
Well, I'm the vice president of the Environmental Society at Hunterdon Central and the vice president of the fledgling poetry club that we just started up about like 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
So cool. And I have a little topic on Environmental Society. If you
Go ahead. So tell us about how the club – did you start the club, or was it already ongoing at your school?
It was already ongoing with my school. What happened was last year I had honors biology for one of my courses, and the biology teacher was the faculty advisor for the club. So for trying to get a good relationship with my teacher, I just joined her club.
Nice.
And last year I really didn't have a passion for the environment because my interests are towards like running, and I play the violin.
Oh, wow.
And I love being outside, but I don't think about the environment too much last year. But what happened was I tried to have a good relationship with my teacher, so I joined her club. And so I just went to every meeting. It meets like every Wednesday for like 2 hours, hour to 2 hours. And
that's a long meeting.
So there wasn't a lot of people, so it was nice because one-on-one scenario. And there were co-presidents and a vice president. And last year we actually didn't do that much. And I thought, you know, we could do so much better. We could do so much other things. And so this year I was named the vice president, and my friend Stephanie is the president. Nice. Because she has seniority over me.
So that's okay. She's a senior, or she was in the club longer?
Yeah, she's in the club longer.
Okay, good.
So, I can talk about what we're doing in the Environmental Society.
Absolutely. Let's hear it.
So, I guess like the summary that I came up with was during the year we put up posters around the school about the dangers of climate change, overpopulation, not recycling, and deforestation. Currently, we are partnering with Swell to make water bottles with the Environmental Society logo, which is just like two hands like this with an earth cradled in it, saying Environmental Society.
Nice.
And we're gonna try and sell that at the school. Another thing we're doing is we're buying a greenhouse, cold frame, garden beds for the club/school because the school gives us grants and outside companies give us grants, like the YMCA gave us like a $9,000 grant.
Nice.
So that was really nice. And so we're trying to plant cold frames, which are glass frames that you put plants in that are usually inside, and you put them in cold frames to harden them up so they could survive outside. And we're going to have a talk about that this upcoming December, because obviously it's a lot, and we have to build it ourselves.
Wow.
So it's gonna be
the engineering club involved. No.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're gonna build these out? You're gonna put them on the school property then? Is that the plan? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then.
Go
ahead.
We're also gonna make bat boxes.
Oh yeah.
Because from SCA they always send me emails about how bats are becoming endangered and that their environment is just decreasing. So I came up with the idea to make bat boxes and. Obviously, the school is not going to have a bat box anywhere on its campus.
You don't want the bat guano everywhere.
Yeah. So yeah. We're actually going to make bat boxes, but we're going to donate them to different clubs or different organizations that deal with environmental things that they do.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of scout troops that do the bat boxes as well.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, no, it's a great I was in Austin this summer, and there's a giant bat colony that lives under one of the bridges downtown. And so every night at dusk, you can see literally hundreds and thousands of bats fly out to go for their nightly meal. It's pretty cool. Yeah. So if you get to Austin, go do that. Anyway, you just mentioned it a minute ago. You said you get these emails from SCA. So SCA is the Student Conservation Association,
yeah.
And it's older than the Peace Corps, I found out. So it was started before the Peace Corps, but can you tell us a little bit about that that global organization or U.S. organization that was started a long time ago before you were born, before I was born.
Well,
and go ahead.
I started my work. It was a paying job, but it didn't really feel like a job. It felt more like a volunteer thing. Work was 6 weeks, 8 hours a day. And I remember when we first went there that they told us the story of how SCA started. And it was a woman college student that was trying to get her major in environmental sciences, and her paper was on having to do the Student Conservation Association, and it wasn't a lot. It was an idea at that time, but it wasn't an organization.
Right.
And so her professor said that she should take this to a private investor, so we can make this an actual organization, because. It's such a clever idea, because what happens is you take students from all across the country, and there's national groups and local groups, and I was part of a local group. But what they do is you build hiking trails, and I have a thing. It says you build hiking trails, go on environmental education tours, and mingle with other SCA groups. Which it doesn't sound like much, but it was a great experience, I have to say.
No, it sounds incredible. So yeah, I did a little research on that, and it's Liz Putnam was the one who started it, and she was at Vassar College, and it was her senior thesis. And so yeah, she took it even, and she there were some dissenters, and she got grief for being a woman, and no woman could possibly start anything like this. Well, guess what? No, she did. And she got a Medal of Honor from Reagan and from Obama too. She won awards for this more recently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's incredible. Right. So you were part of the local chapter of SCA, right?
Yes.
And so is it based at 100 Central or out of Flemington, or what's the local chapter consist of?
It's based out of 100 Central.
Okay.
It's not based out of Flemington, but it's based out of
Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon County,
okay.
Because we had because there was eight groups, eight people, two leaders, and so four of my friends joined. My sister, my friends from Environmental Society, one of my neighbors joined, and kids from North Hunterdon and South Hunterdon joined.
Nice.
So it was a great experience, because I've never met anyone from North Hunterdon, or I've never been like close friends with somebody from there. But we still keep in contact. We all have a group chat, and we were texting on it last night about just about reminiscing about things.
Did you tell them to listen today? Are they listening?
No, I forgot.
Oh, come on. All right. Well, we'll have the recording so they can listen later. Yeah. So, oh, that's great. So what did you, so there was a group of eight of you, you said this summer, and you did get paid. And what were your tasks? Like what were your projects this summer that you did? And you said,
well, when I say this to other people, they think it's just all fun and games. But when you're actually in the work, it's dreadful, but you love it at the same time. So
I love it.
So what happened was it was from July 9th to August 17th, and a lot of fun. What I have down is we built hiking trails, learned the tools used for trails, and learned how to debark trees, build bridges out of those said trees, and most importantly, we learned how to spot poison ivy and ticks. My second week in SEA, my legs and my arms were all covered with poison ivy.
Ouch.
Because, well, they give you shirts, and I had a t-shirt on. And in SEA, what you do, how you build trails is building trails is you just cut your way through the forest, because it was about, the trail was about a two mile distance with a little trail in between. And the diameter of the trail was about, I think it was about 2 miles across.
Okay.
And so we're walking between 128 acres of land.
Wow.
And so the reason why they have us go in there with our preliminary tools, like a hoe, a McLeod, a Pulaski, just other tools.
Now what's a McLeod? What is that? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, so. My first day, I had no clue what that
was. Yeah, so educate us.
A McLeod is a tool used for digging into the dirt. And it's a large tool. It's wooden. And at the bottom, it has a horizontal base. And on one side, it has a rake kind of texture to it, or a rake kind of design. And on the other side, it has a hoe design. So it has a sharp edge on the hoe design, and it's steel. So it's primarily used to get a bunch of thorns and leaves out of your trail.
Okay.
A McLeod is a I just said what a McLeod is.
Yeah, okay.
A Pulaski is a sort of used for chopping things. So on one side it has an axe design, and the other side it has a hoe design. So it's used for this thing we call mineral soil, and I can talk about that for a little bit.
Okay, sure.
And the other tools we used were just the hoe, the pickmatic. And the pickmatic is one side it's a pick, on the other side it's a hoe. And, you know, all these tools basically have the hoe on the other side, because the hoe is digging into the dirt. So that's very useful when you're digging into muddy areas.
Because you're trying to make a trail. You're trying to make it kind of flat and uniform, correct?
Because when you go into the forest, deep into the forest, the first day it was just a bunch of bushes.
Right.
And the second day you go, you do lopping. And loppers are they're basically like thorn
shears, right?
Yeah. And so you just shear your way, lop your way through the forest. You make the whole trail lopped. And so that creates a little trail that you could see, because everything else is like head-high grass or trees or bushes. And so you lop your way, and you have to put up a lot of orange reflecting tape, because you get lost very easily.
I was going to say, well, does someone kind of map this out ahead of time, so you're not just wandering willy-nilly making trail, right? Okay.
Yeah, over the school year, they had the engineers and the planners map out the trail,
okay.
And then they send us in to do the heavy
work.
Nice,
okay.
Just do the trail. And so you lop your way, and there were three streams that we had to make a bridge for, so we had to make three bridges. And that was a lot of fun, because our director, Pablo, was able to come out and use his chainsaw. We're miners.
Yikes.
And we can't use that. But mineral soil used for – all the tools used are used for mineral soil. And mineral soil is just the hardest, most difficult thing I've had to do in SCA, but one of the most fun, because you're with your friends.
Yeah.
And so what you do is you're making the trail, and you have two or three people go 50 feet out to a fallen tree, because when a tree falls, mineral soil is basically the soil underneath a tree's roots, so it's very rich and has a dark complexion.
Mm-hmm.
So a tree falls, its roots are hanging out, and what happens is there's a pit that's about waist deep, filled with mineral soil. So you have to go 50 feet out or 100 feet off because you never know when a fallen tree is. And we were lucky that there were a lot of fallen trees, but some crews have to go, you know, like a mile out to get mineral soil. And so you go to a fallen tree, you got two or three people go with buckets, shovels, McLeods, Pulaskis, just a bunch of the tools used to cut up the roots. And you spend half the day, and, you know, mind you that it's 8 hours a day for 5 days a week. And we were paid for all those days, but I honestly could have gone without getting paid because it was such a great experience. So what you do is you go to the fallen tree, and for half a day you're just shoveling out the mineral soil, or you're cutting up the roots because the roots hold inside them mineral soil. Mm-hmm. So you have to cut out the roots with an axe or a Pulaski, and that's one of the hardest jobs because you throw your back out easily. And well, I did that because it was four boys, four girls. Uh-huh. And sometimes it would be like two girls and me going. So they would be shoveling and picking out stones, spiders, like different little creatures that are in the mineral soil. And I would be just knocking on the tree, and you get dirt all over your face. We used to call it mining because you were there half the day sweating in the sun, dirt all over your face. Greatest experience, I think. So. I think.
Good. No, I agree. Good hard work. Can't beat it.
And you would put the mineral soil in wheelbarrows, take out the stones, and what the mineral soil would be used for is to cover up any dividends or pits in the trail, because you know you're using a hoe or a McLeod or any other tool to dig into the earth and just rake it off, so it has a what is it called?
A soil-like
texture instead of a grass texture.
Okay. Down to the dirt, basically. Yeah, okay. To the dirt. Okay.
And so you use the mineral soil and you sprinkle it over the trail. And that took about the whole 6 weeks to do, other than making the trail itself. And so I love making the trail. Mineral soil was tough. It was really tough. But what made it all better... was the environmental education days that we took, which was every Friday for the whole day, free paid day, which was just great.
Honestly. Yeah.
So for some of the environmental education days, we went kayaking, hiking, went to the Liberty Science Center. We went camping with SEA crews, and we had an all-crew day at Governor's Island in New York City.
I've been wanting to go there. Is it cool?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh,
it's
awesome. That's amazing.
And, my three favorite ones were hiking, kayaking, and Governor's Island. And just want me to talk about this.
Let me see what we're doing. I'm like so enthralled. I'm not watching my time. Oh, you know. Well, let's take a quick mid show break, and then we'll be back with more. Okay. But we'll do a couple. All right. Yeah. 1 second.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
All right, this is Nicole Smith. We're back. This is Happy to Help, and on Facebook, you can find us at Happy Hunterdon. And today we are talking to Sebastian Maldonado. He's a junior at Hunterdon Central High School, and he is a volunteer extraordinaire. He's been involved with the Rotary, the MS Walks, bake sales, all kinds of good stuff. And he's going into depth telling us about his experience this summer working for SCA, which is the Student Conservation Association. It's a national organization that was originally started, I think, to help conserve the national parks, if I'm correct. And there's different regional offices, and there's one here in Hunterdon County. So he and his friends worked this summer building a trail. So where is the trail? Is it in Round Park or something like that?
The trail leads from the Hunterdon County Arboretum.
Okay.
And we worked in the Furnas section of Hunterdon County. And well, I can't really give you like a specific location.
No, that's okay.
They haven't mapped it out yet, but
So it's not available yet to go hiking.
It's finished, but okay. It takes time with the city to mark it down as an official trail. There's just a bunch of like coding involved with it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. No, I mean the bureaucracy's got to do what it needs to do. I get that, but just as an aside, there's a couple of Flemington walking trails to go through. I think this building's on one of them to look at the historical buildings in Flemington. So if you need a post turkey walk this weekend, come and check out the Flemington Historic Trail. It's very cool. And then, do you have any idea when it might open? Have they given you any kind of time frame or?
My coworkers who worked in SCA last year said that their trails finally got finished over the summer. So I believe it takes like about a year.
Okay. So, just so we know. Yeah. Okay. So we can look for that this summer to go hiking. Are you excited to go check it out and the final product?
Yeah, I'm excited to meet with my coworkers again and take my parents to go see it, because I just tell them all these stories and they're just excited to go and
Do you volunteer as a family, or was this, like you said, something you kind of just came on your radar on your own and then you got hooked?
It came on my radar. I independently looked for these things because, like I said, my environmental society has exposed me to so many volunteer opportunities because in sophomore year, I'm not looking for volunteer opportunities. I'm looking for, how to relax and how to do my schoolwork. But I guess it's just serendipity that I was able to do all these environmental and volunteer opportunities. And I was able to have my sister work with me. Mm-hmm. In SCA.
Did it take much to convince her or no?
It did, yeah.
Really?
Because she came in the last week of the second week, and I would just tell her all these stories that, you have gnats all over your face and your ear, you swallow some, these are really gross things. And I showed her my poison ivy, I showed her my work boots, my work pants, work clothing, it was just all dirty. And so it took a little bit of executive power from my mom to push her into SCA. So,
and then once she got in, did she like it?
Yeah, she loved it because everyone's so nice there. And it's really fulfilling because after a hard day's work, you just feel better about yourself.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think it's great. I think, you're willing to put up with a little hardship, a little pain and poison ivy if it's bringing you closer to your friends and doing something good for the planet, right? Yeah. And for your community. So that's amazing. So now you've got a different perspective on the environment, huh?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, large.
Different. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what we were talking before about your Fridays, and you said you enjoyed the Governor's Island, and did you get a camp on Governor's Island or no?
No, we weren't able to camp. Okay. Well, for Governor's Island, it was an all-crew day.
Okay.
And all crews from SCA, so crews from Newark, Atlantic City, Pennsylvania, all came to Governor's Island, and we all met up with each other, and it was great because we all had different likings and we all came from different backgrounds, but a common thread between all of us was we just love working with the environment. So we just all became friends, and at the end of the day I was able to meet everybody and all the directors and leaders of each crew, and it felt like a great experience for me and for my sister to meet with other people that have the same interest, or not the same interest but the same passion for the environment.
Yeah, that's incredible. And did you do a bike ride, or did you do a picnic, or what were you guys doing on Governor's? There's so much there to do, I think.
We had a picnic. We had Our first thing was icebreakers, and that was pretty fun. A lot of funny kids there. And some of us went bike riding. I went bike riding with this kid, Key, and Peter from the North crew. And it was just a fun experience because I got to part away from my normal crew of Hunterdon County SCA and got to meet with the other kids from the North crew and Pennsylvania crew.
Yeah, no, it's great. You have your own local people you meet, but then it offers an avenue for you to branch out.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Oh, my gosh. So can you, for those listening or those who have kids or grandkids or teens themselves, can you tell what would be your commercial for or your selling points for volunteering and the most you've gotten out of it so far? Well, you've said some of it already. But.
Well, for volunteering, it's just it's a great aspect of your life to say that you volunteer. You know, I go to school every day and, I have really tough classes I have a class in economics and in ethics and, I have a class in, history and psychology and then some in sciences and they all just clash, you know, ethics clashes with economics sometimes.
Yeah. And so, we heard that in the news today.
It's tough because you meet with different people from different backgrounds. You know, I have friends that don't volunteer at all and they're happy, and I have friends that volunteer and work and they're pretty happy. And so when I go home and think about what I do for other people and for other people in my community, I just feel better about myself because I know some people that have depression, and I offer them help in the environmental society, and I bring them along for volunteer opportunities, and they just light up because studies show that if you're doing something to help other people, it's just better. You feel better.
Yes, yeah, I quote that all the time. I don't know who wrote the quote, but it is, if you want to be happy, help someone else.
Yeah,
that's it. And yeah. The one I say all the time too is we thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Yeah. So your sense of purpose, yeah, you've got your obligations, your schoolwork, your violin, you know, all your stuff you're doing. But it sounds like the volunteering, it's an outlet for you.
Yeah,
that's great, and you get to do it fun. And that's just so mature of you to bring others along. I mean, that's great, because if a parent or a teacher tells somebody to do something, I know from my own teens that they absolutely do not want to do it. That's like, but if you're a peer and they respect you and they trust you and they know you're in the same boat they are, then that's incredible for you to be able to bring them into the fold. And your sister too, like you said. So that is amazing. So the environment, well, I want to ask, or I want to put a shout out there. It drives me crazy when I go to the grocery store and I see 9,000 plastic bags in the grocery carts. So whenever I go on vacation, my number one tourist purchase is a reusable grocery bag, because then I have like a token from that city and then I can reuse it all the time. So they've already banned them in California, but the plastic bags. So please, people, for stocking stuffers, for teachers, whatever, please buy reusable bags, whether it could be for breast cancer. They sell them everywhere in the grocery stores, right? Yeah. Or when you're going somewhere. So do you guys use the reusable bags at the grocery store?
Yeah.
You do?
We
yay.
Have like seven.
Okay, good. You keep them in your trunk. I keep them in every car. I keep them in the trunk. I have one in my purse. So it's a habit. So if you want any New Year's habit, I strongly recommend start using the reusable bags, because it's a habit. Because sometimes you bring them in the car and then you forget to bring them in the store, but then eventually you'll get there, and it's a good habit to get into, right?
Yeah, it's great.
So good. I'm glad you're a reusable grocery bag person. Yeah. So that makes me happy. So what other environmental statistics blew you away, or that you that made you more committed to your cause here with environmentalism?
Well, statistics I didn't really look at.
Okay.
But just climate change, actually. In my geography class, we talked about the effects of climate change, and we watched Al Gore's documentary.
Inconvenient Truth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and that subconsciously, that sparked something in me, because that was my freshman year in high school, which I was not volunteering at all. And then I took these just interesting classes that I thought would be cool, and that it sparked something. I started meeting with my teacher about climate change and about global warming, and just thinking about how, you know, Miami, Florida could be underwater, or Manhattan could be underwater in my lifetime, was just a scary, inconvenient truth, basically.
I know, right?
And so I think subconsciously I've been working towards, and consciously been working towards, environmental issues other than anything else, because I have a lot of friends that are very environmentally aware, and my faculty advisor for Environmental Society is very environmentally aware. So just like those outside ideas just fill my brain, and I just want to work towards a better environment, I guess.
Yeah, and that's an incredible purpose to have. And a lot of the, as you go into college and career and whatever you end up doing, the STEM field is always so important, whether it's IT, but also biology, or coming up with new ways to recycle things or improve the environment. And they've got all these plant roofs now that help cool buildings. So it's definitely a very cool field to get into, because it is the future. It's going to have to be. But there are those dissenters out there that think global warming's a farce. Have you had any discussions with people about that?
Yeah. Well, for my I had another volunteer opportunity that was really fun, but had to deal with some of those people.
Oh yeah, well that's good. Pushback is good. Let's hear it.
I was able to visit the UN
through the
National Science Honor Society.
Nice.
And it was a lot of fun because I wasn't in the National Science Honor Society, and I'm not in it now, but I'm in the I'm in Rho Kappa, the Rho Kappa League of 100 Essential, which is the History Honor Society and the Spanish Honor Society.
Oh my goodness.
And through Environmental Society, you know, Environmental Society giving me so many opportunities to do volunteer options, we went to the UN, and we made a poster, and I have something here. It says, I was able to create a poster with my peers about ways we could supply clean water to third world countries, and was able to visit the UN. The poster took about 3 weeks, and it was a grueling 3 weeks because we had to meet every other day or every day because we had a little procrastination in our, in our group.
That tends to happen.
And but what the greatest thing was we didn't think we were going to be going to the UN, because you make a poster, you send it in, and then the people from the UN pick posters to come and show.
So it's like a contest kind of thing.
So yeah. I was just unaware that that was even going on.
Wow.
And I thought we were just making it for the school. And we got picked. I got an email for it and asking me if I wanted to go to the UN to represent 100 and Central. And obviously I said yes.
That's amazing.
And so the poster, if you want to know, the poster detailed an intricate irrigation system to carry clean drinkable water to villages in third world countries, because it was student development goal number 3, and that goal has to do with healthy and clean water. And this was during Cape Town in South Africa and what was going on in Flint, Michigan.
So that was the biggest
concern for me and for people at 100 Essential. And so the idea was to create a machine, or to get machines to use reverse osmosis to purify the salt water in Cape Town to clean drinking water.
Okay.
And at the UN, we discussed other ideas for safe transfer procedures of water and water contaminated issues. But at the UN, other schools like Columbia, Harvard, Princeton, and I can't really think off the top of my head, but 3 other private high schools came. And so we had a standing ovation. We were able to stand up and get applause because we were representing 100 and Central.
Nice.
And so our poster was featured at the UN. I don't know. I forget the date, but it was really fun. It took the whole day. And so at the UN, we encountered some people that said, you know, global warming, you know, it's... Yeah, we don't have too much scientific evidence for that.
Yeah. Well, everyone's got their opinion, so it's good to, you know, good to hear those out.
Yeah, but the great part of it was next year I'm taking honors genetics with my biology teacher, because she's such a great teacher that she teaches everything just wonderfully. And we talked about the prospect of clean drinking water in first world countries, because even in America, we, you know, just areas are not clean, are not what you would expect America to look like.
Right.
And just just a great time there.
Good for you. Well, yeah, and you referenced the Sustainable Development Goal number four. You said there's
number three.
Yeah. So there's 17, I think. So the UN came up with 17 Sustainable Development Goals that I don't know if it's 2030 or 2050, what the cutoff is or the goal is, but they range from education, women's rights. There's 17 of them. If you go on the UN website, you can check those out. But they're definitely, those were the ones that they've deemed as critical for the future of the world. So that's incredible. All right, we're going to do one more quick break and then we'll finish up.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 & Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 & Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Nicole Smith. We're back listening to Happy to Help, and our guest today is Sebastian Maldonado. He is a junior at Hunterdon Central High School, and he plays the violin, runs cross country, is in multiple AP honors classes. He's an avid volunteer, so I'm wondering if you ever sleep, because sleep is important in the teens especially. So can you, so you're a pretty laid back guy, seem like, and you manage all of these, what are incredible pressures, I think, to do well in all these different activities and do well in school and everything. So can you give advice to either parents or teens who are feeling overwhelmed and how you manage it all?
Okay. Well, I think most of the credit has to go to my parents, because they're awesome. They're great people. I love my parents. And they don't pressure me. They give the correct amount of pressure that a teen should be getting. And, you know, my mom is not checking up on me or telling me to do my homework or telling me to study, because she knows at this stage in my life that I have to do that to get into a good college and to do the thing that I want to do. And my dad is great, because we could just sit back and talk about just philosophical ideas for hours on end, or talk about like sports or like different operas we like to listen to.
Wow.
And so I don't think I receive, I think the best amount of pressure I get is from school and
the peers, right?
From my peers. Yeah. Well, with my peers, you know, I have a lot of friends and different involvements with my friends. And I try not to like bring in stresses of everyday life with my friends. I try to keep it light with them and talk about like, how like what sports are going on, or like how they're doing in their music or just different things like that. But I do sleep, yeah. That's the greatest thing in my life. I love going to bed. It's the greatest part of my day.
Good.
But, yeah, I'm like every normal teen. I sometimes have to stay up until, like, 12 o'clock doing my homework because, you know, procrastination is just key in everyone's life. And so, but my sister is just the biggest, greatest part of my life, I have to say, because we get along so much. We're twins, and we get along so much, and whenever we see each other in school, it's like a little brain break because we just talk about, like, what's going on and who's doing what and just stuff like that. But also my dog. He's, like, he's a great – I love walking my dog, and I go on runs with him sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll just – the only reason why I sometimes have to stay up late to do my homework is because I'm playing with my dog. And I just think, you know, the cost of sleeping is less than the beauty and the joy I get from playing and being with my dog. So, you know, I just – It's a balance. You have to balance everything.
Well, yeah, out, I mean, so. That's the magic word, right? Balance. And, and you, at such a young age, have figured out how to do this. But you've got your volunteering and your dog and your family. You've got support, a support network, and an outlet. So so you're managing it very well. So kudos to you, because it's tough. So, but it's nice that you have a supportive family and that you found volunteering to be helpful to you in expanding your network of friends and global and your knowledge of the world and sparking some different passions that you have. So, and your teacher too, kudos to her for because teachers are incredible. They have a lot of patience so shout out to all those teachers out there. And I keep telling people too, for gifts, Giving Tuesday is November 27th. It's the day following Thanksgiving. So you've heard of Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all that. So Giving Tuesday is November 27th. It's a day of global giving. So find a favorite charity or that you want to donate to. Maybe it's an avenue into volunteering for an organization. If you give them a small donation on Giving Tuesday, then you're going to be on every email list that they have. But you might learn more about the organization and then be prompted to actually start volunteering, because it's a good idea to do both. So that's my plug for Giving Tuesday. Are you doing anything for Giving Tuesday, or are you going to sleep? you have school though. That's right.
I do have school. I'll try to get as much sleep as I can and then just enjoy the day in school.
Yeah. And
try to get more sleep.
So what are you most thankful for this Thanksgiving, other than your parents?
Let's see. All the opportunities I've been able to have in Hunterdon County and at Hunterdon Central, because I think this is just the greatest place to grow up. And I love Flemington and love Hunterdon because it's just so open. I love running here. I love playing with my dog here. And I guess another thankful thing I have is my teachers. Because I love almost all my teachers. They're really nice. They're inspired to teach kids, and they inspire kids to learn how to do the subjects that they teach. And I guess the last person I'm very thankful for is my sister.
Aww.
She's just she's a great part and a large part of my life.
That's great. And being a twin has got to be pretty cool, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Good for you. Well, Sebastian, thank you for taking the time to come talk to us. We're very inspired by all that you do, and thanks for sharing your day with us today.
No problem.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Despite criticism from Democrats and some Republicans about his stand on Saudi Arabia, President Trump is praising the kingdom this morning, tweeting, quote, oil prices getting lower, great. like a big tax cut for America and the world. He adds, enjoy. Thank you to Saudi Arabia. Yesterday, the president said the U.S. remains a steadfast ally of Saudi Arabia despite the murder of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi.
I've lived in Malibu for 35 years, and it seems like it always happens this way. The fires and then the floods.
Malibu resident and reality star Brody Jenner there, as heavy rains are starting to affect northern and southern California. In the south, the Woolsey Fire burn zone could see some serious mudslides. To the north, 81 people are now confirmed dead from the campfire. This is USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare. Open enrollment ends soon.
So now's the time to be open-minded.
Look at everything, like prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans from private insurers.
Why? Because plans change. So can your health needs.
I found lower costs and extra benefits and saved money.
Open to something better? Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE today.
Open enrollment ends December 7th.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Make Kohl's Black Friday your first stop with incredible Black Friday doorbusters. Stores open Thursday at 5 p.m. Or shop online all day Thursday. Plus, get $15 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. Get the Xbox One S, $199.99. Amazon Echo Dot, $24. Google Home Hub, $99. And the Fitbit Charge 3, $119.99. Kohl's Black Friday. Don't miss it. Select styles valid while supplies last or until 1 p.m. Friday. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
A new report claims that President Trump wanted to, and in fact tried, to prosecute Hillary Clinton and former FBI Director James Comey earlier this year. The report in the New York Times says former White House counsel Don McGahn ended up telling Trump that ordering a prosecution of the two would raise allegations of abuse of power. It's unclear what charges Trump was wanting to level against the two. Forecasters on the East Coast are warning this could be the coldest Thanksgiving ever. A high-pressure system from the Arctic will be descending on the Northeast tomorrow, and temperatures could plunge into the 20s or the low 20s, and with wind chills even worse. The cold could be a big issue at the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade in Manhattan, where because of the winds, some of the big balloons may have to be grounded. And actor Robert De Niro and